Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Galatians chapter 5, we're going to begin talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And let me tell you why the fruit of the Spirit is so important. It's because the fruit of the Spirit is all things that in our life God can use to draw unbelievers to Christ. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit. When someone sees you bearing love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control. When someone out in the world sees you displaying the fruit of the Spirit, because what is fruit? Fruit is what trees, or what vines or whatever it is they bear, and it's something that's beautiful. But I love one of my favorite definitions of the word fruit in the Greek is to be plucked. Okay, here's why that is so cool to me, is the word fruit, meaning to be plucked, is fruit is not just to make us look good, it's to benefit others. A fruit tree doesn't bear fruit just to look good. Now, have you ever driven through Florida and seen an orange grove full of oranges? It's gorgeous. But you know the only thing better than looking at them? Eating them. Right? And this, it's the same way with the fruit of the Spirit. The only thing better than seeing the fruit of the Spirit is being able to partake of the fruit of the Spirit. And there's going to be times in our lives as believers where Tanner is going to have some love that somebody else needs, and they're going to be able to pluck the fruit of the Spirit of Tanner, and they're going to receive that love that they needed. Maybe they had a rough week. Maybe they are being mistreated on their job, whatever it is. But as believers, as we bear fruit, it's not just so other people look at us and go, wow, look how joyful they are. Wow, look how much self-control they have. But so that others can partake of the fruit that the Spirit is bearing through our life, and it can draw them to Christ. Amen. And another thing I've noticed is nobody wants to know anything about the gifts of the Spirit if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, okay? They don't want to hear all about your tongue talking and your laying on of hands and your, you know, casting out of demons if you don't love, if you're not joyful, if you're not peaceful, if you don't have self-control. If you have no character, but you're telling everybody about the gifts of the Spirit and how you move and how you flow, people are drawn more to love and to joy and to peace. What is it that draws people to repentance? It's the kindness of God that draws people to repentance. Amen. So Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 19, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 26, because I don't like to just take one or two verses. I like to get context, especially when I'm teaching on a subject or a topic, because one of the greatest things that one of the worst things that you can do, one of the greatest mistakes you can make is where I was going with that, is to read Scripture out of context. Some people have built entire denominations off of one verse. You can't do that, because the Word of God helps you understand the Word of God. It's called hermeneutics. Scripture interprets Scripture. If you don't understand a Scripture, look for another Scripture that will help you understand that Scripture. Find a reference. That's why things like a study Bible or a concordance or a lexicon or a website where you can look stuff up is so important, because if you don't understand what something is saying, you can find the Greek definition or the Hebrew definition, or you can find a reference. Oh, he said that because of this. And so context is also very important. What are they talking about? Because when Jesus would say something, it wasn't just a one-off statement. There was something else that was going on that related to what he was talking about. Same goes with the letter that Paul would write to these different churches. So in Galatia, he writes in chapter 5, and we've talked a lot out of this chapter already last month. We talked about it, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not let us return to the yoke of slavery, where it says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. It's in this same chapter that Paul is talking, and he starts in verse 19. Let's read this together. He says, now the works of the flesh, okay? So you've got the fruit of the Spirit, and you've got the works of the flesh. So these things that he's about to list, this is what you and I produced in our own power or in our own ability, okay? The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's stop right there just for a second. I'm not going to take time tonight to break down each and every one of these things because as Paul says in here, he says the works of the flesh are evident. I think we all pretty well know these things are wrong. These things are bad. So I'm not going to break down to you the fact that fornication is wrong or the fact that adultery is wrong because we know it's evident that these are things that come when we allow our flesh to have rule and to control us rather than being led by the Spirit. So we're not going to go into that tonight. But he says such things will those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So before Paul writes to us regarding the nine fruits of the Spirit, he begins by giving us a list of the works of the flesh. You know why? Because spirit and flesh are always contradictory. They're always going to contradict one another. The Spirit of God is never going to produce adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, all these things we just read, right? But your flesh is never going to produce love, joy, peace, patience, any of those things that are listed, the nine fruits of the Spirit, the only way to possess those, produce those, have those flowing in your life is by the Spirit of God living inside of you, leading you, guiding you, and producing those things. Okay, so let's keep reading. Let's pick up in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires and passions. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Now, here's the other thing I want to point out. As I said, the Spirit will never produce these fleshly things, and your flesh will never produce the spiritual things. And it's even noted in the language that Paul uses, because he calls the things of the flesh works, but the things of the Spirit, fruit. Okay? So works are what you can do, but fruit is what the Spirit can produce. Have you ever seen a tree stressing or trying to bear fruit? No, it just happens because of the seed that was planted, because of the ground that it's rooted in, because of the nutrition that it receives. Trees that are well taken care of naturally produce fruit. They don't have to try to. It's just what they do. It's the same way when the Spirit of God is living and breathing and moving and guiding inside of your life. You don't have to try to be more loving, try to be more joyful. He will just produce it inside of you. But whenever you begin to work in your own flesh, you will produce these things that Paul lists. So the Spirit and the flesh are always contradictory, meaning you can't be strong in both the flesh and strong in the Spirit of God. You will either be weak in your flesh and strong in the Spirit, or strong in the Spirit and weak in your flesh. One will always overpower the other. And you know which one will overpower the other? Whichever one you yield to the most. Every time you submit to the Spirit of God, you are decreasing the flesh and you are enhancing the power of the Spirit. But every time that you say yes to your flesh, you are strengthening that flesh man to continue to do whatever it is that he wants to do. And you will not be able to bear the fruit of the Spirit because you are feeding the flesh nature. Now, you may look at this list, okay? These works of the flesh and think, oh my goodness, I've been jealous this week. I saw that truck and I got jealous of it. Or I saw that boat, or I saw that house, or I saw that whatever, and I got jealous of it. You know what? I had an outburst of wrath this week. I lost it on my coworker, on my child, at that driver that cut me off in traffic. Or maybe you think, you know, I've had selfish ambition. I've had that inside of my heart, or I've definitely had hatred for someone. All these things were listed here. And you know what he said? He said, whoever practices such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So if you look at this flesh and you go, oh my goodness, I've been jealous. I've had an outburst of wrath. I've had selfish ambition. I've done one of these things. Am I in danger going to hell? No. Here's why. Because it says those who practice such things. Okay? I want to point this out. The word practice means what is done on a regular basis. I.e., as a routine or a habit, okay? So I'm not saying that sin doesn't send you to hell. I'm not saying that sin doesn't separate you from God. Because when we fail, we should still repent. We should still confess. We should still say, I'm sorry, God. But he is talking about people that continually yield themselves to the work of the flesh. It's a habit to commit adultery. It's a habit to commit fornication. It's a habit to have outbursts of wrath. It's a habit to be jealous. And so he's not talking about believers that have one moment of weakness, and as soon as you get jealous, boom, you're cut off. You can't go to heaven anymore. That's not what he's talking about. Because there's always repentance. Amen? So we should still repent. We should still get it under the blood. But he's not talking about somebody that just had a weak moment and yelled at somebody that cut him off in traffic. Okay? Because he's not fickle. He's not a God that's just going to cut you off just because you made one tiny mistake. Okay? So, in no way, though, does this excuse or make working in the flesh right or okay. We still need to get it under the blood. But it just goes to show, also goes to show that if you routinely act in such a way, then you will begin to yield yourself to your flesh more than being yielded to the Spirit of God the way that you should be. So here's my encouragement to you tonight. I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, reveal any area in my life that is not under your control and is not under your guidance. Show me. Because here's the thing. The only way to form a habit is to do something over and over again. So the first time that you have an outburst of wrath, it's not routine, but if you don't get it taken care of, you'll have another outburst of wrath tomorrow, and another one tomorrow, and then two the next day, and then three the next day, and then it becomes what? You're someone who practices the work of the flesh. To practice is to rehearse something over and over again. So the way to not become someone who cannot inherit the kingdom of God by practicing these works of the flesh is to remember to always keep it under the blood and to allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide your life so that you're producing fruit rather than working things of the flesh, okay? So other than asking him to reveal these areas, how do we combat the flesh? Here's how we combat the flesh. We focus on allowing the Spirit to lead us and to bear fruit in our lives. Now, to say that bearing fruit as a Christian is important would be a big understatement. It's not just important. It's a necessity to bear fruit as a Christian. Show me an unfruitful Christian, and I'll show you someone who's not a Christian. Because anyone that is a Christian, that is connected to God, the Spirit is leading their life, they will bear fruit. So it's not just important, it's necessary. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. He said, I am the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear even more fruit. Here's one of the greatest things that you can understand about Christianity is the reward for bearing fruit is being pruned. Okay? I didn't come up with that. I heard someone else say it. I always like to give credit where credit is due. But it's true. When we bear fruit, we expect a pat on the back. Great job. We don't expect to be cut back so that we can be more fruitful. Pruning seems to be a bad thing to many people. They resist pruning. They don't want to be pruned. I don't want to be cut back. I like how I am. I like who I am. But God's saying, if you'll trust me and you'll allow me to prune you, I'll make you even more fruitful, even more beneficial than you ever thought that you could be. But if you do not bear fruit, I won't prune you. I'll cut you off entirely. I'll remove you. Okay? So every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So being fruitful is not only important, it is a necessity for every believer in Jesus Christ. It's not just necessity, but it's imperative. If you're connected to him, you will bear fruit. Because that's the problem, okay? Is not bearing fruit comes from not remaining in him. And the fruit of the Spirit are things, I've mentioned this earlier, are things that we cannot produce. Only he can bring these things about in our life, okay? Have you ever, and I'll just give you an example of that. Have you ever tried to be more patient? Okay, I'm gonna be more patient this week. No, you're not. Not unless the Spirit of God is producing patience. You cannot muster up patience, okay? You might for a little while hold it out, but you will not truly become more patient without God working through a Spirit to produce that in your life, okay? And I want to note this really quick before we get into talking about love, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, plural. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Some people think, well, I've got love, but I don't have any joy. I've got peace, but I don't have any self-control. No, it's not fruits. We look at these nine things as different fruits. No, this is all the fruit. The Spirit doesn't just produce one or two or three of these things in your life. He produces all nine of them. This is the fruit. It's amazing. Usually you plant, a strawberry, for strawberries, you yield strawberries. You plant for an apple, you yield apples. But with the Spirit, you just implant the Spirit and He is manifold. He maximizes it. He produces these nine amazing things in your life. So He will, as He's leading and guiding you, you'll see all nine of these things present. And I hope you see them growing in your life. Because here's the great thing about fruit is it grows. It gets bigger. It gets better. In fact, they say that mature trees, trees can't even bear fruit until they're 2 to 3 years old usually. But once they hit that spot and they begin to bear fruit, as the tree grows, they produce more fruit. It's the same way in our life with Jesus Christ. The more that we grow with God, the more fruit we can bear through the Spirit of God. And the more yielded you are to Him, the more fruit you can bear. Okay, so let's talk about love for just a little bit, okay? Everybody say love. Love is the most popular topic in human history. Think about this for a moment. Tell me one movie you've watched without love in it. Maybe a horror flick or something, but I don't know. But most of the time, every single movie, even if it's like, a crime, usually it was committed because somewhere there was love involved, right? It was a crime of passion or something. Every book that you've ever read probably said something about love. Every poem that was ever written was either written about love, for love, because of love, right? Every song. I mean, goodness, how many songs are about love? Almost everyone, every song, every famous song there ever been, they're all written around love. It's the most popular subject in human history, but still, the world doesn't understand true love. Even though for thousands of years the world has been talking, writing, singing, and being entertained around the topic of love, we still don't truly understand what love is. In fact, the world seems to be getting further and further away from what love truly is. In fact, we're in the month of June, which is, for many people, they celebrate what we call Pride Month, and they say love is love. If a man loves a man, that's love is love. If a woman loves a woman, love is love. No. Love is something that God set up. And number one, romantic love is not the only kind of love there is. But two, the romantic love that God established was for one man and for one woman, right? That's what He set up. That's what He defined through His word. And so the world, though, is trying to twist and confuse people into thinking that love is something that it's not. But love is something that the Lord will produce in our life through His Spirit. And so, according to 1 John chapter 4, God is love. So, anything that you label as love that doesn't come back to God isn't truly love, okay? And in the Greek language, there are four words used to describe love because there's four different types of love, okay? The first one is storge, and it's familial love. Okay, like love between family members, like a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, a brother and a sister, an uncle and a nephew, a grandparent and a grandchild. That's storge type of love. Cousins, okay? It's familial love. It's between family members. And even you can experience this with people that aren't even actually your blood family. I have friends that are as close to me as family, and I love them. You know, I'll send them a text or I'll call them. And when I get off the phone, I have a friend that are multiple friends that are guys. And when I get off the phone with them, I say, I love you. And that's not weird. Why? Because I'm not saying I love you in a impure type of way. I'm saying it like, hey, I love you like a brother. I love you like a family member because you have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. We're family, right? Okay, you've also got eros love, which is romantic or sensual type of love. That's reserved for a husband and a wife, one man and one woman. So when I say I love you, to a friend, I'm not saying I love you in an arrow sort of way. I only say that to my wife. And in fact, today, Pastor Madison and I are celebrating 9 years of being married. So I just want to say happy anniversary to her. She's not in here. She's with the children tonight. But I love her with an eros kind of love. And the next kind of love is phileia love or philia love. And that's the love of close friends, okay? Just you love somebody, you know, and you want them to know that you're close, that you care about them. And then the last one is agape. And that is the best word that we can have to describe the love that God has for his creation. It's an unconditional love. And agape and philia are the only loves actually mentioned in the Bible. Philia is only mentioned once. Agape is mentioned 116 times in the New Testament. Those are just in the Greek, okay? But in this passage where Paul is talking about the love that God, through his Spirit, will produce in our life, he's talking about agape, which is unconditional love, meaning the Spirit of God, but the fruit of the Spirit, the things that he will produce in your life is love, not only for those that love you, but you're called to love everyone. And here's the amazing thing. He will empower you to love everyone, meaning they don't have to do something to earn your love. That's one of the greatest misconceptions that the world has about love today is they only love people that are worthy of their love. The reality is none of us are worthy of God's love, but yet he still loved us. And then Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, meaning you're not already living this way, but I want you to start living this way. Love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Note this, love is not optional in the kingdom of God. He didn't say this suggestion I give to you. He said, this commandment I give to you. It's a new commandment. And what kind of love did Jesus model for us? He laid down his life for his friends. He said, no greater love is anyone than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his great love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word loves, it comes from the word agape. And that means that God loves us with an unconditional love, that he didn't wait until we stopped sinning to start loving. And it's the same way with us. We can't wait until people, you know, and I mentioned about Pride Month and homosexuality. We don't wait until someone repents of homosexuality to start loving them. We love them in their sin. We love them in their mess, just like God loved us in our mess, in the mess that we're still in. Because there's things that he's still working out of all of our lives. And listen, sin is sin. So don't start judging other people based on, well, their sin is worse than my sin. No, sin is sin. And we need God to cleanse us and to wash us and to purify us. And so I love this, that God didn't wait until we decided to come to him and clean up our act before he started loving us. And your love may be the very thing, we talked about this earlier, that draws people to Christ. It may be your love, not your judgment, not your preaching, not your condemnation, not your Pentecostalism, but your love. Just like it says in John chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody knows this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? He didn't just love those who would love him back. He loved those that would turn their back on him. He loved those that would nail him to a cross. He loved those that would commit unmentionable sins. He still loved them anyway, because he loves everybody equally. And the Holy Spirit will give you power to love the unlovable, the rude, the annoying. I mean, come on. We all need power to love annoying people in our lives. How many of y'all have annoying people in your life? Don't be spiritual. Raise your hand. Every single one of us have annoying people in our lives. People that, if given the chance, we would punch them in the face. Or we would let all the air out of their tires. Or we would, you know, just bless them with the fleas of 1,000 camels. You know, just something. I don't know what we would do, but we would do something to wreak havoc in their life because they have just caused us that much frustration, right? I remember growing up, we had a neighbor that got on my dad's last nerve, and he would try to sneak out of the house without her seeing him, right? He'd be hiding behind the van like this, like trying to sneak off. And there's always going to be people that get on your nerves. I used to have a neighbor that I would just hope and pray he wasn't in his yard when I drove past. Not because I didn't like him, just because I knew it was going to take me 30 minutes to get home if he waved me down, right? And sometimes I didn't have 30 minutes to talk to him. But God will give you the power to love even annoying people in your life. Because how else are you going to reach someone if you don't love them, right? So we're not exempt from loving anybody, okay? But the only way to do that is to allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of love, because we cannot, going back to this, you cannot make yourself love someone. You ever said that? I'm just going to love them. I'm just going to love them. What you need to say is, Holy Spirit, produce fruit in my life so that I can love them. Because here's the thing, it's not just about you loving them, it's about them feeling loved. So many times we turn the scriptures, spirituality, into selfish ambition. Because listen, when it's more about you loving them than them being loved, it's selfish ambition. And selfish ambition is a work of the flesh, not a product of the Spirit. So don't try harder to love them. Let the Holy Spirit produce love in you, because He can and He will produce a love inside of you so that we can love them not based upon what they've done, not based upon who they are, what they look like, how they act, but based upon who He created them to be. He will give us unconditional love, love for the broken, the lost, the ones that we don't even know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us at the end of the chapter, verse 13, he says, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Love is the most important quality that you can have in your life. Why? Number one, God is love. Okay? So anywhere love is present, God is present. But the second thing is in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right? He also told us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said this, all the law and the prophet hang on this, to love the Lord and to love people. So if you don't get those things right, nothing else matters in your life. But if you get those two things right, because you won't cheat somebody if you love them. You won't lie to somebody if you love them. You won't, you know, do anything that would cause them harm if you actually love them. So love is the greatest quality that we can have. So love is the key to living a life that honors and glorifies God. Because if we love Him, but He doesn't love it, then I don't want to associate myself with what He doesn't love. So therefore, it will keep me pure, it will keep me holy, it will keep me spotless from the world. That's why walking in the Spirit is so important. Because it's not just about you trying to love God and loving others. It's about being led by the Spirit and allowing Him to produce love in your life. Love that will cover a multitude of sins instead of casting judgment or hatred in the direction of those who have done you wrong. Okay? Love that is patient and kind instead of love that demands I have to have it now and is rude. Love that suffers long and is kind. Love that would cause you to lay down your life for your friend. You in and of yourself cannot manufacture love. We can't do it. We can't make it. We can't conjure it up. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good of a person you are, you can't produce love in your life. It can only come by way of the Spirit. Now listen, let's go back to what we talked about last week. How do we have a better relationship with the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? Number one, we talk to Him. We converse with Him. We listen to Him. Number two, we submit to Him. We yield to Him. Number three, we host Him. Number four, we stay humble. We allow Him to be the lead. We allow Him to be the guide. Because true love can only come by being led by the Spirit, walking the Spirit. So let me just begin to wrap it up by saying this. Don't try harder. Submit deeper. Don't try harder. So many times we are like, God, I'm going to show you how I can love this person. And I'm going to prove to you that I am good at loving. I have love inside of my heart. And God's up there going, I don't want you to show me that you can love them. I want you to let me love them through you. It's something I want to produce in your life because God is love. So it's something that he wants to generate and produce and work through you. And you cannot manufacture it because when we do it, it just becomes something that we are working in and of our flesh and not something that he's leading of the spirit. And anything that we do of the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, death, decay, just nothing profitable. But anything of the spirit will bring life, will bring peace, will bring joy, will bring goodness, will bring satisfaction. So don't try harder, submit deeper. Allow the Holy Spirit to have access to every single aspect of your life. Here's the problem, though. We want to keep our little portions of our life and not let him have access to them. The things that really, really, really make you uncomfortable, you usually don't want to give to him, even though he is listed and labeled as the comforter. But if you want to have him produce fruit, he's going to have plenty of ground to work with. Okay? There are some things that, as Pastors Lauren and Bonnie have been teaching us about gardening, that they said, don't plant that in your raised bed because it needs room to grow. If it doesn't have room to grow, it's not going to produce the way that you want it to produce. So there are some things, like, especially like watermelons or zucchinis or squashes sometimes, that you want to plant in the ground so they have room to grow. Well, in the same way, if you want the Spirit of God to produce in your life, you're going to have to give him ample ground to work with. Because God will not share space in your heart. He's either Lord of all or not at all. And so many times, we'll say, God, you can have this parcel of my heart, but I'm going to keep my entertainment. I'm going to keep my selfishness. I'm going to keep my vices. I'm going to keep the list goes on and on and on. These things that I think are making me comfortable, but really they're just hindering the production of fruit in my life. You need to allow them to prune those things back so that you can see love begin. How many of you guys want to be more loving? Come on, we should all want to be more loving. Well, the way that we can become more loving is not by trying harder. It's by submitting deeper. It's by giving him more ground to work with. Just like if you had a garden this year, but you wanted a bigger one next year, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to till more ground, right? Well, if you want more of the working of the Spirit in your life, you're going to have to give him more access in your life. God, when I go to work, you have access in my life. God, when I go to the grocery store, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to be with me so that love can cover a multitude. Maybe somebody's walking in sin and they don't need you to judge them. They don't need you to put them down. They just need to know that they're loved. They just need to know that they're cared for so that you can be patient and kind with your wife, with your child, with your husband, with your coworker, so that you can suffer along with somebody, that person that's getting on your last nerve, but they need someone to love them. They need that love that will transform their life because your love isn't just leading them to thinking that you're a good person. It's leading them to finding God because when you're loving them, you're really issuing forth God to them. Because God is love. Amen? That agape love. Stand to your feet with me tonight. I told you I don't want to keep you too long tonight, but I did want to encourage you. These Wednesday nights of teaching, they're probably going to be 30, 35 minutes of teaching. I just want to empower you with the Word of God so that you can live lives that please Him, honor Him, and are fruitful and beneficial. Listen, when I talked about the fruit being something that other people can enjoy, it also does benefit your life. It makes you healthier. It makes you wealthier. It makes you wiser because when you have love, when you have joy, when you have peace, all these things, there's a greater favor on your life. It attracts God to you because when he sees a fruitful tree, when he sees a fruitful vine, he wants to come and he wants to be with you and he'll prune you back so that you can produce more things in your life. Amen. Would you just raise your hands and receive this prayer and this blessing tonight? God, I pray that you would fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit. God, as we give you more ground to work with, ample ground, God, plenty of space, Lord, I pray that you would cause the fruit of the Spirit to multiply in our lives, to go further, to go deeper, to go to stretch out. God, I pray that this week that we would be able to walk in that love. God, I pray that the people that we encounter, whether we know them or not, that we would have that agape, that unconditional love to be able to speak to that cashier at the grocery store, to be able to let our coworker know, not in a weird way, but hey, I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm here for you if you ever need me, God. And I pray that we would extend you to people this week, God. We just surrender our hearts, our minds, God. We don't want to be stingy with love, but God, as your word says, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us. He's just poured it out. He just gave everything that he had. Lord, I pray that we would in the same way love people. As Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that we would love just the same way that he loved, holding nothing back. God, we want to be those kind of people that would love the way that you love. And I pray that you would give us a special grace to do so and that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those tonight that are just trying too hard, struggling to bear fruit, trying to bear fruit. God, I pray that we would not try harder, but we would submit deeper and allow the Spirit of God to do whatever it is he wants to do and realize that sometimes fruit takes time. But as we just yield to him, rest in him, stay in him, he will produce the fruit that we're longing for and hoping for, that fruit of the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace, and may the Spirit of God produce fruit in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen.